appreciate your presence. And I'm sure that we have all had some time with our family to maybe friends to have a Thanksgiving meal. Appreciate us having a holiday of Thanksgiving in our nation. And I know that you've probably had times to reflect on things you're thankful for, maybe your family and maybe people that you've become acquainted with over the years. Wednesday night there was several that expressed Thanksgiving here at service. I know it's profitable for us to do that. There's something I'm thankful for. I want to make it kind of the focal point of our thoughts this morning with the help of the Lord. I'm thankful today for freedom. I'm thankful for the liberty and the freedom that we have in our nation. I'm so thankful for the freedom that we have to be able to come and have services here, although we feel it seems like it's looming on the horizon, the freedom to worship and the freedom to worship God in spirit and truth. Many times it seems like on the horizon there's clouds out there and there's things that look like it might be creeping in that would try to hinder and try to sabotage our freedom to worship the Lord. But I'm thankful for the freedom that we have. I'd like to read us a definition of freedom that I found in a dictionary. It says, a state of exemption from the power or control of another. It's liberty. It's exemption from slavery, servitude, or confinement. Freedom is a personal, civil, political, and religious. So freedom can apply to different facets of our life. A person could be have freedom maybe in one area. Maybe we could have a level of personal freedom, but not religious freedom. Sometimes that could be a real factor in some nations, and it may be coming to us. Freedom is something that can be about the most exhilarating thing that you could ever experience if you've had your freedom denied. I'll tell you a very simple little story about myself. I was a young boy, had a bicycle. Some of you all probably remember those days when the cool thing to have was a bicycle with a banana seat. Y'all remember that? Some of you do. It was a seat that was about this long. And the back of the seat was supported by a long chrome bar that went down and attached back by the rear wheel. And it went up higher than my head. Now this, y'all, your younger generation might not think this was so cool, but there was a time it was really neat to have this. We had a banana seat and a bar that went way up above. You could put a reflector up there if you really wanted to get real snazzy. And the handlebars we had, came up, swooped up like this. And this was all on a little 20-inch bicycle. I was probably about, 10 or 11 years old, something like this. And my bicycle was a menagerie of pieces that I'd get scavenged from other wrecks, and Dad had picked up here, there, and yonder, and we put it together. So I was pretty pleased with my bicycle. And of course, I would ride the bicycle around as much as I could, and about two blocks or so from our house, maybe three, there was a small river that ran through town. We lived in a small town, and I would ride down there, and they had kind of a little cove or a little wharf where people would bring their fishing boats in. And everybody, there could be 25 boats that was tied up down there. So I rode my bicycle down there, a little gravel street that run down by all the fishing boats. And it was interesting to see the boats and who might have been there. And so a lot of boys would go down there. A couple of boys that were kind of the bullies of the neighborhood happened to be down there too. In fact, it was kind of a little one-lane gravel road that went down a steep bank on river on one side and seemed like a field or something on the other. I'd rode my bicycle down to the boat dock and was on the way back, and these fellows was coming down the street walking. They didn't have a bicycle at that time anyway. They apprehended me, and doing what bullies do, they just got a real charge out of intimidating other people, and they got a hold of my bicycle. Of course, that big long bar coming up the back, you had plenty of places to grab a hold of, and they told me they were going to throw me in the river. And I was pretty alarmed about that. And my freedom of being able to ride where I wanted to on my bicycle had come to a screeching halt. And they were shaking the bicycle and trying to pull me off and all of this kind of stuff. And finally, one of them said, I'll tell you what, if you can get up to the end of the street before we can count to 10, we'll let you go. So as soon as their hands was off, I'm telling you, I was pedaling that bicycle. And, of course, they counted just as fast as they could. And they got to 10 before I got to the end of the street. And then they started running and throwing rocks at me and stuff like that. But I got away from them. And I'm going to tell you, my freedom felt pretty exhilarating. It was pretty sweet that day to be free of those bullies that wanted to, I don't know if they thought I was going to come back and let them throw me in the river or what, but the freedom felt pretty good. It was pretty exhilarating. And I'm thankful for the freedoms we have today.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for the liberty we have. Liberty is freedom. It applies to our minds. It applies to our bodies. I read a statement in a dictionary. It says the liberty of one depends not so much on the removal of all restraint from him as on the due restraint upon the liberty of others. So my liberty and my freedom that I'm so thankful for is not something that only is determined by me. The more liberty and the more freedom that I exercise, I've got to realize that it could put some restraints on other people. And for an illustration, I'll tell you this. I've had a driver's license now for a number of years. I didn't think I'd hardly ever get old enough to get a driver's license at one point, but now I've had a driver's license for a long time. And I have the liberty to drive my automobile and go anywhere that I want to go. But I'm going to tell you, my liberty is really defined by that yellow line in the middle and the white line on the side. And I'm free to go down that lane to the end of the road. But when I begin to define my liberty as the whole road, I begin to put in some restraints on the liberty of other people. So if I take off down the road between here and Carthage, it's two lanes going on the highway to Carthage. And if I decide because I have had a lot of years of driving and because I want to expand my liberty a little bit, that I'm just going to drive down the middle of those two lanes where the little dotted line is lined up with the center of my hood. And I go all the way to Carthage that way. Did you know the liberty that I exercise in that is going to put restraints on the liberty of other people to drive on that road? If I come up against somebody, up behind somebody that is going a little bit slower than I am, and they're in one lane or the other, and I'm driving in both lanes, when I come up behind them, they're going to realize that I am doing something, I'm expanding my liberty a little bit too much. Especially if I honk at them to get over out of my way. And if somebody comes up behind me that's driving in the left lane and they want to go around and I'm just driving right in the middle of both of them, you know they're probably going to honk at me. And there's going to be some feelings that start coming up. Why? Because I have exercised a level of liberty that starts putting restraints on other people's liberty. And I have freedom and I'm thankful for it. But when I begin to encroach on other people's freedom, it can create situations that's not so good. I'm thankful for where I live and the freedom that I have. We don't have any ordinances out there. I'm sure here in town that you have an ordinance that says something like if you have a dog, it either has to be in a fenced-in yard or on a leash. If you can't just turn your dog. I don't have one of those ordinances where I live. I don't have a leash on my dog, and I don't have a fence on for my dog. And then my dog goes wherever it wants to. Now, if he exercises too much liberty, the neighbors may come and talk to me about it. But I don't have any dog ordinance. And if I want to buy a giraffe and put it in my backyard, I can do that. There's no ordinance against that. And if I want to do something that makes a lot of noise in the middle of the night, I can do that. My neighbors have done it, and I've wondered what's going on over there. But he's not breaking the law. There's no ordinance against that. But you know, if I begin to do things that encroach on other people's liberty to sleep at night or to have some kind of peaceful habitation, there's going to come a time that they're going to ask me to not be so, not to exercise that much liberty. So I want us to think about our freedom that we're so thankful for and our liberty that we're so thankful for. In Luke, the fourth chapter, I'd like to read something that Jesus read from Isaiah. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised." He was reading from Isaiah 61 and 1, and there the prophet says, a little bit different wording when it was translated to English. He says, "To proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to them that are bound." And here he says, "Liberty to them that are bruised." I am so thankful for the freedom that we can have through Christ Jesus from sin and the bondage and the captivity of sin. And it doesn't matter if the sin was some kind of substance abuse, whether it was some kind of mean behavior, whether it was some kind level of immorality, if it was dishonest, it doesn't matter. We can be free from that through Jesus Christ. And if we read on down in verse 21 of Luke 4, he says, "And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." It's through Jesus Christ that the prophecy of Isaiah came to full force and full impact. And it's through Jesus Christ and His blood that was shed for us that we can be free. And we can be delivered from the power of sin. And we can have this liberty to know that we don't have these forces calling on us that we have to listen to. We don't have to succumb to the pressure to take another hit and to take another drag. We don't have to take a fall prey to those things that causes us to use language that's inappropriate and to take things that doesn't belong to us. And we don't have to fall prey to the things that cause us to be hard to get along with and hateful and envious and all of the, we don't have to listen to that anymore. We can be free from all of that through Jesus Christ. We don't have to succumb to that. But I want to tell you, we've got to be careful because the enemy will want to come along and cause us to begin to exercise a liberty that overextends the white lines and the yellow lines and wouldn't want us to do something that would not be profitable for us. I'd like to go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and notice something the Apostle Paul said about liberty. A lot of times when someone is free from something, we might say they overreact or overcompensate. If you are trying to compensate for some hang-ups in your life, if you were in an environment, raised in an environment where someone was constantly telling you that you weren't any good and you didn't do anything right and you were hopeless and all of that, you would have to compensate for that. It's like compensating for driving into a crosswind or something. Many of you have ever driven something like a motorhome or I'm sure a semi is the same way with a big billboard and the wind is blowing on you and you're compensating for that with your steering, and then when you've got to be very alert because as soon as you come to a place where that wind is not pushing on you, your compensation will cause you to run off the road on the other side. So it is important for us to realize as we go through life, if we've been struggling with something, if we've contended with something, some forces of the enemy in our own personal lives, and we are trying to compensate for that, and we're trying to keep on the road or in between the lines, so to speak, and the Lord comes along and helps us to be free from that, whatever it is, we have to be careful that we don't overcorrect and we don't end off in the bushes somewhere on one side or the other. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, and we want to read in the 13th and the 14th verse, he's addressing those that have a profession of salvation. And he says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." The liberty that Christ came. Jesus said, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. I came to set at liberty the captive, those that have been in bondage to sin." He says, "Ye have been called unto liberty," verse 13, "only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, for by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So it's important for us to realize the liberty that we have, the freedom that we have. It's important that we don't allow that liberty to begin to gratify the flesh in another way. We can be free from the bondage of someone else, and if we're not careful, we might try to put a different person into bondage to us, to cause them to feel like they have to answer to us, or cause them to, maybe someone could begin to gratify the flesh by experiencing something that they could never experience before. Someone that maybe has been denied all the opportunities in life, and when by sinful habits or a bad atmosphere or whatever, and they get free from all of that and begin to accumulate some of this world's goods, and they've got the liberty to spend their money just like however they want to, that's your freedom, that's your liberty. But then they begin to accumulate things that could be a detriment to them. begin to have desires for things that could cause them to become shipwrecked and get in trouble with their soul. Liberty and freedom doesn't give us the right to do whatever pops into our head. Liberty and freedom is something that we have to be conscious of. We have to recognize this is something that's powerful. It's a powerful thing to set something free. It doesn't justify every idea and every urge that's presented to the human mind. Yes, we're free to experience life. We're free to build relationships with other people. But every idea and every urge, it must come in to subjection to the Lord. In Titus, the second chapter, I'd like to turn there. Titus 2. I'd like to read verses 11 and 12 of Titus. He says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." We have the liberty to experience life to its fullest. And I believe that a Christian has the ability to have a very rich life in this world. But the liberty that we have, the freedom that we have, doesn't take us outside the bounds of living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Yes, I've been free from persecution. I've been freed from the antagonism of the enemy and all of his devices that wants to crush my spirit and wants to cause me to be contaminated and defiled and all of those things. But I am free to live soberly, righteously. I am free to drive my automobile wherever I want to. But I have to obey some regulations. There's a speed limit out there. I need to keep the white line on the right and the yellow line on the left. And I need to pay attention to the messages that come up and the red lights that come on and the caution lights. And I need to pay attention to the yield signs. That means I'm supposed to give someone else the right of way. I've got to pay attention to all of that. But I have the liberty to get in my automobile and drive just as far as I can afford to drive. I can do that. I've got that freedom. And you have the liberty to pursue education. You have the freedom to pursue occupations. You have the liberty to pursue relationships. But there's guidelines. Yeah. Soberly, righteously, godly, and we'll begin to looking into what the Lord is very specific about how that we pursue our freedoms. If we begin to pursue an education that leads us away from the Lord, we're getting outside of the guidelines. We don't have the freedom to do that. If we begin to pursue an occupation that's going to cause us to have difficulty following the Lord, we're getting outside of the guidelines. We'll begin to pursue a relationship that is, the Scripture tells us, we talks about, it's addressing women in particular, but if you choose to marry someone, it needs to be in the Lord. It needs to be someone that's saved and someone that's not going to leave. There's a guideline there. There's a guideline of who's eligible for marriage and who's not. There's all kinds of guidelines for relationships in the Scripture. There's guidelines for our behavior in in dealing with other people and doing business and all of that. There's our God. But we're free to do business. We have the liberty to pursue all of these things that can bring so much fulfillment in our life. I'm an adult, have been for a number of years. I'm old enough to be president now. Not that I want to be, but I'm old enough to be a president. I passed that last hurdle, you know, 16, then it's 18, then it's 21, and I think you got to be 45 to be president, and I'm past that now. I'm old enough to enter any establishment out there. I can do it. No one will go in and ask, no one will ask me, are you 21 or older before you go in here? But you know there's places I don't go in. I don't go in there not because I don't have the liberty according to our society. I passed the last hurdle. But I don't go in there because I am endeavoring to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So as we, I know what it feels like as you're growing up to think, oh, I'll be so glad when I'm 16. I'll be so glad when I'm 8. I'll be so glad when I've passed that mark of 21 and everybody has to recognize I'm an adult now. I know what those feelings are. But I know this, that once we get past that and we feel that we're free, we have liberty, we can go wherever, we can go in any place we want to go into. There's some other guy, you know, if I allow myself to go to those places, either virtually or physically. You know, we live in a, people out there live in a virtual world. You know what that is? It's not real. It's on the internet. It's on the Facebook or whatever. May the Lord help us be very careful. It says here that we should live soberly and godly, righteously and godly in this present world. You might have the liberty, you might have the freedom, but are we living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? I've even been impressed with a couple verses of a song that we have. It's song number 55. The title of the song is The Bondage of Love. You know, the Lord loved us so much that He came and paid the ultimate price. He hung on the cross to do what? To give us freedom. To give us liberty. That's what He did. And He loved us so much to do that for us. I'd like for us to notice the last part of the first verse. He says, well, I'll just read the whole first verse. He says, O sweet will of God, Thou hast girded me round like the deep moving currents that girdle the sea. With omnipotent love is my poor nature bound, and this bondage to love sets me perfectly free. Now, this is not a paradox of words. This is helping us understand that we have in our freedom that the Lord gives us through the blood of God, blood of Jesus. We are in bondage to His love. We have some limitations that we want to have there. It's for our own safety and our own protection. And in verse 4, the last part of the verse says, the serfdom of love to so sweeten the rod that its touch maketh rivers of honey to flow. The serf, you know what serfdom is? Serfdom is almost like slavery. He says, this serfdom of love to so sweeten the rod that its touch maketh rivers of honey to flow. I want us to realize the value of our freedom. I am so thankful for the freedom we have in our nation. I'm thankful for the freedom that I have in my life to choose the occupation that I have been able to choose. I don't do the same thing my father did for a living. And you have that same freedom too. You have the freedom to pursue education. You have the freedom to... We don't have a caste system here in our United States for choosing who you would spend your life with. May the Lord help us to recognize that we have to be careful and not allow our freedom and our liberty to lead us into something that would be away from God. I want to read that verse in Titus again. It's 2 and 12. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. May the Lord help us as we pursue our liberties and our freedoms in this life, that we would keep those parameters in our mind. I wouldn't want anyone to come and be able to tell me, you can't drive your car any longer. That would be disaster. I wouldn't want someone to come and tell me, well, we're going to take you back and you've got to start over and you've got to do the same thing your dad did for his livelihood. I wouldn't want somebody to take that liberty and that freedom away from me. I wouldn't want someone to be able to come along and tell me that you're going to have to be the same kind of person you was before you came to know the Lord. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have. But I want them to be preserved. And the way they'll be preserved is not allowing my liberties to infringe on other people's liberties. And know that, you know, I have a space. And I can weave around. Well, I say this. Don't try weaving around to the limits of the lane for very long, because somebody will see that and they'll stop and check you out. But I have the liberty to keep my vehicle between those two lines and use that space up. But I'm not supposed to get over this line and I'm not supposed to get over that line. May the Lord help us to realize we need to impose those barriers on ourselves. Those lines, those guidelines, help me keep in the way that would be soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You pray for me.